We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
All right, back here on Patriots Friday in OMF, and today, this week, we come to you the day after a Thursday night football game, and since it's Friday, it's time for our little get-together with Mike Lombardi. Our conversation with Mike is sponsored by Town Fair Tire and Needham Bank. He's the author, of course, of Gridiron Genius. It is now available in paperback book. Mike, how are you today?
I'm doing great, thank you. How are you guys holding up?
6-0, boy, we're just doing great up here.
No, we're miserable.
We are miserable. So that's my first question to you. We brought this up to Teddy Bruschi the other day, and Bruschi said that if you need your defense and your special teams to score for you every single week, you're really living dangerously because eventually you're going to get caught by teams that are simply as good as you. You agree with that? Can they continue?
Yeah, no, I do, but it's October. I mean, they've got to. Look, I think people don't really understand. Antonio Brown was not a luxury. They needed Antonio Brown. Now, he's not there any longer. They still need somebody to play the receiver, the skill position. I mean, the fact of where they ended up that game last night and how hard and bad that 21-win looked for them. I mean, most teams win by 21. They don't think they have a problem. The Patriots win by 21. They got to get to work, you know? And so I think they've got to get, you know, look, there's a lot of pieces missing on that offense, starting with the left tackle, you know, starting with the starting center. So they're trying to fill a lot of these gaps. And more than anything, I think they lack the great skill. The speed of the offense hasn't really been able to be there. And, that, you know, he goes 16 plays and don't get any points. It becomes problematic.
Yeah, so and even when you look at the situation that they're in, and the fact that Brady talked about last night, or this is the first time in 20 years where they only go one personnel grouping, right? I think he was in regular or sub. I'm not even sure. But that, to me, is actually a good thing. With all those things going on, he was still able to be 31 for 41, over 300 yards.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, let's put this in perspective. That Giants secondary, I heard Troy Aikman talk about how good the Giants were in their building. That's one of the worst defenses in football. They can't cover anybody. Okay, I'm not sure if you watch the Vikings got a jolt offensively when they went back there. I mean, even their highest played player, Janoris Jenkins, I mean, heck, they're doubling Edelman, and he's still getting open. I mean, what does that tell you? So I think you got to look at the level of play and who they're playing. I mean, that's
so it's less impressive. So hold on. So forget about the 31 from 41. You're not impressed because they sucked.
Look, when you're in the NFL and you're sitting there, you never think you suck. You won. You're undefeated. But you know that there's somebody down the road that you're going to have to play and beat. And the only way you're going to do that is to get better. The beautiful thing that's going on in New England right now is they're winning. And they know they can improve. And they're going to improve on offense. There's no doubt they'll improve on offense.
Yeah. How without getting a body?
With this personnel?
Know, I mean, they're going to have to make some moves. They've always done this. I mean, in 2014, you know, there was three or four moves we made there in the middle of the season, whether it's, you know, signing Alan Branch, whether it was, Jonathan Casillas, whether it was Akeem, you know, the outside rusher from UCLA, you know, whatever it was, you know, you make those moves and you get the team better. They'll do that. I have full confidence that this offense will look much different in December than it does right now. Who they're going to fill in those places, I can't give you that answer. I don't know.
So,
I don't think they know.
Obviously, they're not very deep in a lot of spots, and obviously Lacoste goes out last night. I don't know if you feel that Ben Watson's another option again, but were you surprised, given the lack of depth and production they're getting from that position, that Bill didn't find a spot for Ben Watson, or do you think it was more about the money he carried and freeing up space?
No, I think it was about the level of what he thought he could impact. I think Bill never makes any decisions monetarily. I think it was all about could he help our team, and maybe he felt, and I don't see the practice tape, but maybe he felt like he couldn't do anything based on the practice tape, and where was he going to be in December? The hardest part about signing older players is they look really good in August and September, and then when you really need to play your best football December and January, they don't have much left in the tank. So I don't know the real behind the scenes story there, but obviously they felt they could do it. Look, they need to fix tight end. They need an inside receiver. There's a few things they need. Unfortunately, it's a hard time of the year to get this. They're just going to have to figure out how to do it.
Let me ask you about tight end real quick, just staying with it. A couple of names you talk about. Obviously, they got to add somebody. Is Tyler Eifert out in Cincinnati? Austin Hooper down in Atlanta? You hear anything about these guys being available?
I would think they're going to add more of a receiver than a tight end. I think, maybe you could find a tight end, but, Mohamed Sanu comes to mind as somebody that would fit what they do perfectly because he's a big inside receiver. He's on his last year of a contract, and, if Atlanta continues to plunge down, maybe they want to dump that asset. Maybe they want to get some pick for him before they lose him in compensatory. I think that's the flavor you look at. Emmanuel Sanders, if Denver continues to lose, do they take a draft pick now as opposed to waiting for a compensatory pick? I think those are the kind of players you have to look at. One-year rentals. We saw it last year. Demaryius Thomas went from Denver to Houston late at the trade deadline. I mean, it was for a third-round pick. It was expensive, but Houston needed to make a trade for a receiver. I think that's the line you're looking at. I don't think that there's not enough good tight ends out there to satisfy everybody. I think they can work around the tight end. It's that inside receiver that's problematic.
All right, you've been in this organization when they've made those deals in the middle of the season. We talked to Bill on Monday and certainly admitted that, he's got Nick scurrying around. They're doing their due diligence right now. But what do you think is happening, especially when they've got a $5 million cap hold now with Antonio Brown that's kind of handcapping him? You just said Bill's not going to worry about the money. How does he get around this? Because you just admitted it. He needs help, especially at that wide receiver. They need another playmaker.
Yeah, they do. I mean, I think, you just have to go in and do sign a guy. Look, one of their best players, one of their best players on defense, Kyle Van Noy came, by the way, of nobody knew where. How did this guy show up here, right? Detroit just gave him away. I think that's kind of what you're looking for here, but it's going to have to happen on offense. And they'll figure out a way to fit the player in. It could be a guy in his third year of his contract, or fourth year of his player contract, that his cap number's not that hard. You're just assuming the paragraph five, which you can fit in there. So I think that's the marketplace that they're in. They're going to scour it. Look, they'll work diligently. They've got an extra day or two now to do it. And now we're at the point of the season where maybe some teams have given up their aspirations of winning a Super Bowl. I know Atlanta this summer thought they were one of the best teams in football. How, I don't know. They did. But since the Super Bowl, they're 19-20. Since the last 21 games, they're 8-13. And really, they haven't played very well since then. So they're a team that you could target. I think there's certain teams you could target to think that you might be able to make some happen.
All right, so you bring up an interesting point. We keep on focusing on big-name receivers or whatever. And you brought up Van Noy. Simon was another guy they brought in here. Is it possible that Bill's looking at something and saying, we put him in our system and what we're doing with Brady, and we have something here for the rest of the season? Are we looking in the wrong direction here, Mike?
Yeah, everybody looks for marquee. Belichick is, I talked about him on my podcast this week, and I watched this documentary on Clive Davis about how Clive Davis made, really, here's a white Jewish elderly man who's making rock and roll history with the people he puts in the right, with the right music, with the right songs. There's a little bit to that in football. Belichick has unique ability. I mean, look at the defense, right? There's only two players on that defense that anybody else in the league wanted, Devin McCourty and Stephon Gilmore. You could say, well, Hightower. No, Hightower was a free agent. He came back at a reduced price, right? I mean, Jason McCourty, Danny Shelton, and Jamie Collins were all cut by Cleveland. So the value here is the secret sauce in New England, the secret sauce at One Patriot Place is Bill's ability to recognize talent and fit him into the system and then develop those skills within the system. That's a Bill Walshism, develop the skills within the system. And that's what they do better than anybody in New England. That's why they've won 79 games over the last 5 years.
So speaking of guys in the secret sauce with the Patriots, Michael Bennett, his reps have gone down since the beginning of the season. Is that because the other younger players are playing better? Or is it because he's just becoming expendable and they don't need him as much? Because that seems to be a guy that if he's not going to be on the field, he's not getting as many reps, and he says himself that he has zero role, that I can see them moving.
Well, I think a lot of it depends on the opponent they're playing, right? I think it all really depends on who they're playing and how they want to match up each week. You know Bill as well as anybody. I mean, Danny Shelton last year was inactive for how many games in a row? And now all of a sudden he's active. So I think it all depends on what role, how they want to attack the defense, what they want to do, what they want to do with the offense and how the defense wants to attack. And I think some weeks last night, I think he played 11 plays. I'm sure his number will go up as it gets forward. But look, Michael Bennett was traded for relatively very little, a swap of 6 to a 7. So the marketplace out there, they redid his contract. I'm sure
so it has nothing to, so you don't think that has anything to do with the other guys playing better and him being forced to take a reduced role because of that?
Well, I think everything's about the role. I think that, you know, I don't know how they judge who's playing better and who's not. I mean, Bennett obviously has been a good player for most of his career, but maybe they want more of a run defender. Last night, Wise played more because they wanted a more stout guy to be able to move things around. I think that really comes from the organization.
Talking to Mike Lombardi, Athletic, and the GM Shuffle podcast. And Mike, when Jamie Collins left here in New England, I believe you were pretty critical of him in his freelancing and maybe not being on the same page. Are you seeing a more disciplined guy this time around, different player?
You know, I've always said this about Jamie. When he left before, he was not playing well, didn't want to really play with physicality. And I've always said this about Jamie. He, as good as he could play, was really where the bar was. When you go back to the 16 team, the 7, when he was playing at his highest level, the defense played much better. Because it's rare to find a guy that size and that kind of quickness who can play on all three levels of the defense. And I thought he was one of our best players on defense. And then that year in 16, he didn't play to that level. Really wasn't playing with physicality. Now he's back to playing into that 15 level, which is when he's really good, he's one of the top 5 players. He went on to Cleveland, he got paid, and all of a sudden Cleveland didn't feel the same thing. So, you know, I think he's changed his game around. I think he's changed his attitude about his, and I think that happens to a lot of guys. I mean, they go somewhere else and they come back. I mean, Brandon Bolden might be a perfect example. Here's a kid who's out there, you know, was a special teams. He fills a role perfectly, does it last night, made plays in Washington. You know, that's the one thing about the Patriots, that they're able to get guys to fill the role, and then the guys go somewhere else, and they realize, you know what? It was a hell of a lot better in New England than it is here.
You know, speaking of Brandon Bolden, I know we had this discussion. I asked you last week about Sony Michel, and you had a couple 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1, couldn't get it done. They get to the goal line. They give it to Brandon Bolden. Brady runs a couple in himself. Are they better off right now where they are? I know the offensive line's beat up, but giving Brandon Bolden more looks with his running style than Sony Michel.
I think they need as many dynamic players as they can find offensively. And look, I think Michelle's kind of back that, you know, you saw late in the game when they retired, he wore down and he made his big run. But, I mean, they need more juice on offense. I'm not going to argue that with you. They need more juice. They need to be more explosive on offense. They need that, you know, that ability to take a short pass and turn into a long one. And I think that's probably the most frustrating thing. Look, you're not going to reinvent the wheel, right? They're not going to change their scheme. They're not going to do something differently. They got to get the players they have to play at a higher level, especially in the offensive line. And then they've got to get some guys healthy. Maybe it's Harry comes back off IR. You know, they need Isaiah Wynn back at left tackle, which will help solidify that line a little bit. But they're just going to have to find ways to get guys in there. And you know what, guys? It happens every year. They do it. Somehow some team gets rid of a good player. Look, we traded Michael Hooman for Hakeem Hicks. Hicks is one of the best defensive linemen in football. That happened in October.
Okay, last one and we'll let you go. I'm going to want you to make a bold prediction, okay? And again, bold prediction means you're not really held accountable and no one's going to give you, you know, any
crap. Have you ever listened to my podcast? I make them all the time.
Okay, well, I want you to make it here. Okay, I want you to make it here so all the listeners here can hear it. Give me one name that you think the Patriots will sign in the next 3 or 4 weeks. Who's the first offensive player? Give me a name offensively, an impact offensive player. Give me one.
You know, my guess would be Sanu. That's a guess, only because I think Atlanta's trending. He makes $7 million a year. I think, why would you pay an inside slot receiver that? They need to get Ridley the ball more. Although they like Sanu down there, I can't imagine. You know, there's been conversations before. Emmanuel Sanders would be another guy I would think about. You know, I think in that area, but those would be the two names off the top of my head. I think it's a profile you got to look to, right? Somebody whose contract's expired, somebody whose team's not playing well, somebody who wants to get a compensatory pick now instead of later.
Quickly, would you be shocked if Bill does not make a deal?
I'd be shocked.
I would too. Thanks, Mike. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, goodbye.
Thanks, Mike.
See you later. Mike Lombardi joining us right here on OMF. We get back to your phone call, 617-779-7937. Patriots are 6-0, and we're all miserable.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.